Chof of Shvat, Friday the 21st of February, Rabbi Rashi Simons, Tamei HaMitzvos.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with you again this morning. This week's Parshas Mishpatim, contains, of course, a wealth of fascinating material. In some cases, very well known. It takes you back to your days in yeshiva, Seder Nezikin. Perhaps you're still doing Seder Nezikin. It's not quite there in Daf Yomi sequence yet, but there's plenty to occupy any advanced student of halacha. In Parshas Mishpatim. However, not being that well advanced personally, I would like to simply focus on the first Rashi, which, as I hope we will discover, has much to teach us. Ve'el ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnem. Actually, it's not the very first Rashi. The very first Rashi is about the Vav. But Rashi on the first pasuk. Asher tasim lifnehem. Now, if you think about it, it's very unusual, or very notable at least, that the Torah uses a turn of phrase, Ve'el ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, which you shall place before them. It's actually very passive. To place before them is like to present it for their consideration. Is it appealing? Is it something which they are interested in? Is it something which is compelling? Maybe yes and maybe not. Tasim lifnehem. The Torah doesn't say asher telamdein, that you shall teach them. Or asher titzaveim, which you shall command them. Or even asher titeilein, which you shall give them. If you think about it, tasim lifnehem is a very weak turn of phrase. It's not even giving it to them, it's just enabling them to take the mishpatim if they want. And I think this is exactly what Rashi has in mind. This is what sort of Rashi is responding to when he says, that you shall present it to them. Now let's just consider what Rashi says. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hashem said, Lo ta'ale al dat chalomar. Do not think that you can say the following. Don't imagine that the following formula is what you have, is your intention. That's not acceptable. What is it? Eshane lehem haperek v'halacha shtayim u'shalosh pamim. I will teach them the chapter or the law two or three times, ad shetei sedur b'fihem k'mishnasah, until it is arranged for them in accordance with its details, in accordance with its format. In other words, until they know it by heart. Don't think that that's sufficient. Now, to me, it sounds pretty good. You teach it two or three times until they know it very well. It's lucid. It's clear. They're able to repeat it back and they understand it well. What's wrong with that? Says Rashi, Hashem said to Moshe, don't do that, that's not enough. If you think that's sufficient, ve'eni matriach atzmi l'havinam ta'amei hadavar u'perusho. And I'm not going to exert myself to explain to them the reasons and the explanation. That is not enough. L'kach ne'emar asher tasim lifnehem. Therefore it says that you shall place before them. What's the remez asher tasim lifnehem? So Rashi uses the famous words, k'shulchan ha'aruch u'muchan le'achol lifnei ha'adam, like an arrayed table, a set table which is prepared and ready for a person to eat. How does the turn of phrase asher tasim lifnehem and even the imagery of a set table, how does that refute the idea that Moshe may have initially had, I'm going to teach it two or three times, I won't explain the Tamei HaMitzvos. I won't explain the reason for it. I think the answer is that a table which is set and is prepared with fine linen and with crystal and with china and with silver cutlery is very appealing. Yeah, I know China's a bit on the outs right now. Right. That which is very appealing, that which is so enticing, so inviting. Of course, when a table is prepared that way with every delicacy upon it, then naturally you want to taste it. You want to go to that table. You want to be part of that banquet. You want to be included, and you're going to enjoy this meal because it is so enticing, it is so appealing. The term ta'amei ha-mitzvos is chosen with precision. Ta'am means a reason, but of course it also means a taste, ta'am. Now if you think about it, food is essential for life. No living organism can survive without nourishment. So every person needs to eat. We need food to survive. A person cannot go without food for days and days at a time. However, the necessity to eat food is a biological imperative, because food has nutritive value, and without food a person cannot survive. But if food is very bland, if it doesn't have an appealing taste, or even if it doesn't appeal to you, if the taste is a negative taste which you don't enjoy, of course such food you're only going to eat to the extent that necessity compels you. You're not going to eat that food with gusto or enthusiasm or pleasure. If the food tastes good, if you enjoy the taste of the food, you'll eat it with more joy, with more enthusiasm, and dare I say, more frequently and more of it. The ta'amei ha-mitzvos are the same. The essence of a mitzvah is its spiritual nourishment. A mitzvah is that which nourishes my soul. But if I understand the reason for a mitzvah, I'm going to perform that mitzvah with more regularity, with more enthusiasm, with more pleasure, with more delight, with more conviction. Whereas if I don't understand the reason, then I might do the mitzvah, I might even do it properly, but the enthusiasm and the excitement is going to be lacking. And it's not surprising if over time a person might actually begin to neglect the mitzvah because it has no taste for him. So this is what Rashi is telling us here. By the way, it's been suggested that the term Shulchan Aruch, the name that Rav Yosef Karo chose for his great work, which was originally intended just as a condensation of the Beis Yosef, but of course has taken on a life of its own, Shulchan Aruch, it probably comes from here. It probably comes from this Rashi, to Shulchan Aruch Umuchan Lifnei Adam. It's also been suggested, by the way, just parenthetically, the term Shulchan Aruch may have been influenced by the pasuk that we say, many people sing it, in Mizmor LeDavid, Psalm 23, Ta'aroth Lefanai Shulchan Neged Sorarai. So possibly, this is also what the Mechaber had in mind in choosing the name Shulchan Aruch. What's interesting, and maybe not that widely appreciated, is that this subject of ta'amei ha-mitzvos is itself hotly contested. The propriety of the whole enterprise of trying to speculate or identify what is the reason for a particular mitzvah, or mitzvahs generally, is subject to vigorous dispute, whether that's an appropriate enterprise altogether. So I'm sure you know the Sefer HaChinuch is arranged in such a way that he does try to explain or speculate, he calls it Sharshei HaMitzvah, but many have questioned whether that's appropriate altogether. And the reason for the controversy is not difficult to find. The reason for the controversy is that if we seek to speculate or to specify or to identify the reason for mitzvahs, then a person may well take the view that this reason doesn't convince me, doesn't appeal to me, doesn't excite me, doesn't convince me. And since I don't like the reason, and if that is the reason doesn't appeal to me, or maybe doesn't even apply to me, then I don't need to do it. And of course, this threatens to undermine the whole principle of mitzvahs itself. A mitzvah, by the way, is not a good deed. A mitzvah is a command, as we know. Many people forget that, not this audience, I'm sure. So therefore, if a person seeks to explore and to identify, or shall we say, speculate as to the reason for the mitzvahs, we have this downside as well. So I think I'd like to say at the start that the reason that we do mitzvahs is the same for every mitzvah, because it's written in the Torah, or it's on Hashem. So Tamei HaMitzvahs does not seek to explain why we perform a particular mitzvah. We perform the mitzvah because it's a Ratzon Hashem. Tamei HaMitzvah says, why is it the Ratzon Hashem? Why did Hashem command us to do this particular mitzvah or another mitzvah? So again, it's not an attempt to explain why we do the mitzvah. It's an attempt to explain why Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvah. But again, there's a certain, you could even say, arrogance in that. I mean, are we privy to the mind of God to explain why He commanded us to a certain mitzvah? So we can understand, I hope, some of the controversy surrounding this. There's a famous Ramban in Kiseitse about the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, where the Ramban speaks about the question of, again, the mitzvahs, the reason for the mitzvahs. Ha'omer al kan sipar yagiu rachamecha mashtikin oso, the Mishnah says. But I'd like to take you to a passage in the Tur. I'm sure you know the Tur is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, and just parenthetically, the Shulchan Aruch, as you know, is, relatively speaking, a very brief condensation and summary of the Beis Yosef, which is based upon, well, the Beis Yosef is a commentary on the Tur. So the Shulchan Aruch really follows the Tur, but he tends to show great deference to the Rambam and to the Rif in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is very terse, and as you know, the commentaries around the Shulchan Aruch become a lifetime enterprise to study and to remember, to interpret, to understand. But the Shulchan Aruch itself is quite brief. The Tur is at greater length. And therefore, when you open the Tur, it's actually, excuse me for saying, often more interesting than the Shulchan Aruch. And here's an example of it. It's in Yoredeya, Simen Kufpei Aleph, Hilchos HaKafas HaRosh VaHazakan, the laws of shaving the corners of the face, or the head, what we call payas, means to leave that part which is not shaved, and the prohibition of shaving it and shaving the beard as well. I was in a better position to talk about this a couple of years ago when I didn't have a beard. Now I'm like everybody else. But once upon a time, I had a more personal interest in the subject. But nevertheless, let's see what the Tur says. HaKafas HaRosh VaShchasas HaZakan Gam Be'eil Kosav HaRambam. So the Tur quotes the Rambam, and you can immediately hear this is not like the style of the Shulchan Aruch. Gam Be'eil Kosav HaRambam She'asram HaKosav Mipnei She'osin Kein Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Rambam says here as well that the reason that the Torah forbids shaving the corners of the head and shaving the beard, the reason the Torah forbids it is because this is the manner of the idolaters and especially their priests. They were very exacting about shaving. The Yiddish, possibly pejorative phrase, galach, derives from exactly that, because the galachim used to shave. So that's what the Rambam says. Azoy zok the Tur. Akan v'ze zok the Tur v'ze eino mufurash. The Torah doesn't say that that's the reason why. Ve'ein anu tzichim levakesh tam lemitzvos. The Tur makes a general observation and a general criticism. We don't have to seek the reasons for the mitzvahs. Ki mitzvahs melech heim aleinu. These are the commands of the king. Af im lo neida ta'aman. And then it goes on to talk about the halachas themselves of this subject. But the Tur quotes the Rambam, and he rejects the Rambam. He rejects the whole orientation of the Rambam, the whole inclination of the Rambam to identify the reason for the mitzvahs. Says the Beis Yosef, Kosev Arama Mida, no, it's the Bach. The Beis Yosef says, Dvarav Mevuarim, the Beis Yosef is commenting on the tour, Shidato Lachlok al Harambam, Lamalo Levakesh Tan Midato Lashum. Mitzvah. Why does the Rambam seek to speculate or identify from his own understanding the reason for a mitzvah? Shenire she'ilu lo hayu yodim tam ha-mitzvah lo hayinu mitzuvim lasosan. The implication is that if we don't know the reason, we're not commanded to do it. Zok the Beis Yosef ein ha-davar kein ki mitzvahs. I'm sorry. The Beis Yosef now is saying what the Tur is criticizing the Rambam. Vena davar ken ki mitzvos melachim aleinu vafim lo neida taman. It's not so that these commandments are incumbent upon us, even if we don't know the reason. Anu mitzvim lasosam. Vani omer, says the Beis Yosef, dechas leila Rambam milamisbar hachi. Of course, the Rambam never had such an opinion. Who more than the Rambam is going to be scrupulous about the honor of Torah and mitzvahs? Udvara b'sod hilchas me'ila yochichu. So the Beis Yosef refers to the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Me'ila, the end of Hilchas Temura, and the end of Hilchas Mikvah. If you're interested in just viewing that, the most interesting one, the most complete statement, is at the end of Me'ila, end of Hilchas Me'ila, and the Beis Yosef alludes to it. I'm just going to read you, I happen to have it here in English, because I once gave a shir, I needed the English. I'll read you just a few sentences in English. The Rambam writes at greater length there. He says, it is fitting for a man to meditate upon the laws of the Holy Torah and to comprehend their full meaning to the extent of his ability. Nevertheless, a law for which he finds no reason and understands no cause should not be trivial in his eyes. How much more so, and he says that it gives a metaphor. At the time of Matan Torah, so Hashem said, don't approach the mountain, keep your distance. Pen Yarsuam, lest the people get too close and they'll trample upon the mountain. So how much more so should one man be on guard not to rebel against the commandment decreed for us by the Holy One, blessed be He, only because he does not understand its reason, or to heap words that are not right against the Lord, or to regard the commandments in the manner he regards ordinary affairs. So the Rambam says, on the one hand, a person should seek to apply his intellect and his creativity and his best endeavors to understand the reason and the purpose and the benefit of a mitzvah. But at the same time, if he's unable to arrive at an explanation which he personally finds satisfying, he should not neglect or should not denigrate or trivialize the mitzvah, saying, well, I guess if I don't understand it, I don't have to do it. The Rambam warns against that. So says the Beis Yosef, that's not what the Rambam meant. Even though all the commandments are decrees from the king, and that which we cannot find a reason, we shall attribute it to the limitations of our own understanding. Then he goes on to say, the Rambam, when he said the prohibition of shaving with a razor, is because this was the habit of the idolatrous priest. So says the Beis Yosef, the Rambam wasn't just imagining it or observing that this is the habit of the idolatrous priests in his experience. But if you look at the context of the mitzvah in Parshas Kedoshim, Matza'an mukafos milifnei ma'acharem, it's a bit of a pun there because it's hakafas harosh. So he says, Nimtza mukafos milifnei ma'acharem, before this mitzvah and after this mitzvah, mi mitzvahs hane'asaros mushum chukei hagoyim. Shariksiv lifnehem lo sochlu al hadam v'lo senachashu v'lo so'onenu. Now those mitzvahs obviously relate to the practices of sorcerers and necromancers and the like. V'acharehem kosu v'seret lenefesh k'suvas ka'aka. Now these again definitely relate to the habits of the idolaters. V'areze mefurash b'hakafas harokit. Says Yosef, the Rambam was only observing the context of this mitzvah. Says the Darkei Moshe, the Rama, he critiques the Beis Yosef. Hope I'm not confusing you here. He says the Beis Yosef has misunderstood the tour in his criticism of the Rambam. V'ani omer gam kein chas leil rabbeinu shiachshol b'ksherim. Don't imagine that the tour is attributing to the Rambam this opinion, the idea that if you don't understand the reason for the mitzvah, you don't have to do it. I'll just read you the mitzvah alav shi'isvah she'im lo hayu yodim tam ha-mitzvah lo hayinu mitzuvim la'asosan. If we didn't know the reason, we don't have to do it. And he says, "Ki lo matzinu b'shul chacham Yisrael sheyamin b'zeh." We don't find any sage of Israel who would think such a thing. So says the Darkei Moshe. What the Rambam, what the tour meant was, "Ratzon lomar shelo nidrosh tamei dekra lomar she eino osu ela kederech she'osu ovdei avodah zarah." The tour doesn't attribute to the Rambam this idea which borders on the heretical. What the tour meant was that the Rambam seems to be of the view that the application of the mitzvah, the application of prohibition, is only in terms of the habit of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and about that the tour says it isn't limited in that way. Al kol panim, what we see here is just a small snapshot of a subject which animated the Rishonim, and they lined up on two sides of this question. And generally speaking, the philosophers were enthusiastic about Tamei HaMitzvos, and those more inclined to a Kabbalistic approach, or those who were not, let's say, sympathetic to the philosophical, the rationalist point of view, they tended to criticize the enterprise of Tamei HaMitzvos. My own feeling is that, in terms of my work, which is in Kiruv, Tamei HaMitzvos is a very valuable tool. One has to make the distinction, which I made earlier, that we don't imagine that this is the reason that we keep the mitzvahs. We keep the mitzvahs because they're written in the Torah. But an understanding, like I was saying before, in Rashi's turn of phrase, that I don't have to bother to teach them the reason, this is a grave error. The mitzvahs and the Torah has to be presented in such a way that it is so enticing, so appealing, and so beneficial, that the recognition of the benefits are obvious and compelling. It's like somebody once said, everybody's favorite radio station is WIIFM. What's in it for me? So if a person has the feeling that he's going to derive some kind of satisfaction, fulfillment, improvement, betterment, enrichment through the mitzvahs of the Torah, then of course the attraction is going to be that much greater. It's a bit like, I don't know if anybody here remembers New York in the 1980s and 90s and 2000s as well. Sims, do you remember Cy Sims, men's clothing store? I'm not getting any... yeah, okay, Judy remembers it. He used to go to New York a lot. Well, there you have it. So Sims, what was their slogan? An educated consumer is our best customer. That the more you know about the product, then the more you are keen to embrace it. The Orach Chaim says in last week's parsha, Im shamoa tishma, he says that if you listen to the Torah, if you listen to the words of the Torah, tishma, you'll be motivated to learn more. It's like, he quotes the pasuk, it's like ta'amu uru'u ki tov. But it's the ta'am, it's the taste, it's the appreciation. It's that sense of fulfillment and that sense of something which speaks to my heart or even to my mind, to my intellect as well. I would like to suggest, and we'll end with this thought, that this is actually I wouldn't say explicit, but this is definitely consistent with the bracha that we all say every morning. By the way, women as well. It's a mitzvah min haTorah for women also to say Birchas haTorah, according to many Meforshim, the Shagas Aryeh, and others. It's a mitzvah min haTorah for women as well to recite Birchas haTorah. Okay, what do we say in Birchas haTorah? But the next words are very important. The part of the prayer is that the words of Torah should be arevim, should be sweet. Please, Hashem, may the sweeten the words of Torah in my mouth, the mouth of all of Klal Yisrael. This is not just a kind of throwaway line, just a comment. The ha'arevna, the sweetness of the Torah, the satisfaction and the fulfillment is an essential part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I want to share with you a beautiful passage which is quoted in many places. It's become a classic, but you wouldn't come across it probably just, well, I certainly would not have, probably you would have, but I would not have, if I hadn't seen it quoted in other sources. But I looked it up, and it's very beautiful to read. I'd like to read you a few passages from it. The Igle Tal, you know, was the Avnei Nezer, the first Sachachova Rebbe, the father of Hashem Yishmuel, and Igle Tal is on Hilchas Shabbos, Tal is Lamentes. In the introduction to the Igle Tal, he writes about something not limited to Hilchas Shabbos, but a general perspective on Talmud Torah. I'd like to end with that thought. While I'm on the subject, he says, like the great speaker says, before I start to speak, let me say a few words. So he says, now that I'm on the subject, he's taken himself to give himself an opportunity to say the following. I've heard some people say, Toim miderech haseichel, they err. And they say, regarding the study of Torah, v'omru, ki halomed u'mechadesh chidushim, v'sameach u'misaneg b'limudo. Someone who's learning, and he comes up with novel explanations, questions or answers or insights, she finds very rewarding, very satisfying. V'samach, and he rejoices, u'misaneg, and he delights b'limudo, ein ze limud haTorah kol kach lishma. It's not the highest level of Torah lishma. Kemo im haya lomed b'pshitus she'en lomed limud shum ta'anug. V'hu rak l'shem mitzvah, as if it was not the same madrega as it would be if he learned the Torah just in a straightforward manner, for the purpose of the mitzvah, and he didn't have the same pleasure in it. There are those who say that the first approach is not the same madrega of Torah lishma. Aval halomeidu misaneg bilimudu, har misareg bilimudu, gam hanas atzmo. But a person who learns and he delights in it, and he gets pleasure from it, so mixed in with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is also personal benefit, personal pleasure. This is a very grave error, a very widespread error, a very obvious error, he means to say. But adarabah, on the contrary, au contraire, ki zehi ikar mitzvahs limud haTorah liosas v'sameach u'misaneg b'limudo. This is the ikar mitzvah, to rejoice, to delight, to celebrate it, to have the sense of pleasure in the study of Torah. Then the Torah is actually absorbed into his very lifeblood. This is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And he goes on in that vein, and he quotes the Zohar, and he says that the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, both of them, Einan Misgadlin Eli Mitoch Simcha. They both derive their power from pleasure. And he says that if a person does an Avera, Chas V'Shalom, So it's the pleasure in the Avera which fortifies the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra. But the same is true Litzad HaTov. It's the pleasure, it's the joy, it's the satisfaction. I'll just end with the last words. Halome Deshe Mitzvah Sumisanik B'Limudo. Someone who learns for the purpose of the mitzvah and he rejoices, he delights in it. Hareze Limud Lishma V'Kulo Kodesh. Kigam Hatanug Mitzvah. The pleasure itself is part of the mitzvah. So therefore, I would say that the enterprise of Kameh HaMitzvah has much to commend it to us. And in my humble opinion, this is the deeper meaning of the first Rashi, or Rashi on the first pasuk in today's Parsha. I'll leave it for the more learned people to explore all of the lamdas in the rest of the Parsha. Thank you very much. Have a good job.